song. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. And we're going to read one verse. I'm using this verse as the foundation of the message I want to bring to you tonight in just a few more minutes. It will be more of a Bible study than it will be a preaching message. But I'll try to keep it interesting. You'll have to listen on purpose. I don't have any gripping stories or illustrations again. But I want to help you with something again tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Brother Martin referred to this verse on Wednesday night in his message on sanctification. Let's stand together. We'll read the verse and then we'll have prayer and have these folks sing and get into the very practical message tonight. Let me read it for you. 1 Peter 3, 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. My dear Father, thank you for the privilege to preach your word. Help us tonight. God, may we get set in cement on this matter that we'll talk about tonight as a church. I pray that you'll bless the families of this church, the individuals. Lord, I know many people are fixed on this subject. Others, Lord, still need help. So I pray, God, you'll bring us to your book tonight and that the Spirit of God would do a good work in us. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Blessings that are mine from day to day.
Dear Lord and Master, I thank Thee, yes, I thank Thee for them all,
and for the
joy of walking with Thee in the blessed gospel way.
Dear Lord and Master, I thank Thee for them all,
yes, for them all.
Dear Lord, I thank Thee for the flowers, for the sunshine and rain, for the fields of bright golden grain.
I want to
thank Thee most of all for full salvation from the fall.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee for them all, yes, for them all. For the joy of living and the message in Thy word.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee,
yes, I thank Thee for them all,
and for the
privilege of giving it to those who've never heard.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee for them all, yes, for them all. For the many signs of Thine soon coming after me.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee,
yes, I thank Thee for them all,
and for the
hope of living with Thee throughout all eternity.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee for them all, yes, for them all.
Dear Lord, I thank
Thee, Lord, for the sunshine and rain. For the fields of bright golden grain,
I want to
thank Thee most of all for full salvation from the fall.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee for them all, yes, for them all.
Dear Lord, I thank
Thee, Lord, for the sunshine and rain. For the fields of bright golden grain,
I want to
thank Thee most of all for full salvation from the fall.
Dear Lord and
Master, I thank Thee for them all, yes, for them all.
Enough how what a blessing it is, the music, the choir music, the special music. For people who are overseas, for people who hear by internet, it seems like when I hear from people that they listen, they always mention the music. I believe the special music goes on, doesn't it? I believe so, Brother Tim. Special music goes on, the choir song goes on, and you know so you're not just singing for people sitting out in front of you. Some of them may look dead, but you're singing for folks halfway around the world in some cases. Amen. So that's a blessing. Wonderful, good music tonight. I want the ushers to bring you a piece of paper tonight, a half sheet of paper, if we had several men to make it real quick. I think we did. There's more people here than we have papers tonight. What did we do, Sarah? 230 or so. I think she did about 230. So, but usually we have over 300 here. So, but pass them down. Maybe some of the smaller kids could look on with mom and dad, but I want at least all the older kids and teenagers to have one for sure, as well as mom and dad. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of tithing. I didn't announce that this morning. I didn't know if we'd have a crowd here tonight. Amen. So I thought, well, I'll just keep it a secret and just give it out tonight. I used the text verse there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man. Be ready always to give an answer. Why do you tithe? Why do you tithe? Why should you tithe? Okay. I want to talk to you about this tonight. And maybe you can put this in your Bible somewhere. I believe in its context, this verse is being specific about witnessing. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is, set Him apart. Set Him aside, if you would. Purify, dedicate Him, and be ready always to give an answer about the Lord. To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But I think it's good to have an answer ready to give about everything we do in the Christian life. Why do you go soul winning? Why do you read your Bible? Why are you a Baptist? We had a whole 3 days on that. Hopefully those things that Brother Johnson taught, you you believe them, and it's part of what you are and what you are by conviction. And so I want to talk tonight on the matter of tithing. Why tithe? All right, give you 8 reasons. Obviously, I can't preach all those reasons. We'll be here too long. Did anybody not get a paper that wanted one? Okay, very good. Good to have Brother Marty here tonight. He broke his foot yesterday in the football game. The worst part about it was his little brother that was the culprit. Is that right, Brother Marty? All right, so you pray for him. He's got to go back to school, see if he can go to work with that foot in a cast. Let's pray together. Ask God's blessing on our time in His Word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to give. I'm so thankful that You instituted the matter of tithing way back at the beginning. And Lord, allow us to be a part financially of Your work and then turn around and bless us for being obedient. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Lord, it's a very scary, scary trap for young couples especially and others to fall into, to think that they don't have enough money to tithe and all this. God, I pray that You'll speak to hearts tonight, no matter the age. Some folks are set in stone on this, but Lord, others need help. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Gas, it tickles me. Gas went up from 304 to 315, and it came down today to 314. That's a blessing. Goes up 11 cents and comes down a penny, amen. But and really for no reason, I don't think. But anyway, who knows what that's going to do. The house market is, if you've been keeping up with the news at all, you know what the house market is like. Topsy-turvy. The analysts say we've not seen the end of this thing yet, that there's still more fallout from all of these foreclosures. I read the other day where it's not just those people it's not just people foreclosing on those ARM loans now who got caught when the interest rates jumped. Now it's people foreclosing on conventional loans of 20 and 30 year lengths, people foreclosing on their homes. I have no idea where the economy will go. We don't know about that at all. We don't know, one terrorist strike here in our country could throw us all in the trick bag real quick. That's all, just one. Just one. One terrorist strike, if they go after the electric fields and if they, or the nuclear power plants, they could disrupt. You remember when that blackout occurred on the eastern third of the country some years ago and the mess that they had out there? And, you and I can't speculate about what will happen and when it will happen, but we can be set in stone on this matter of being right with God concerning the part of our money, and I use that term very loosely, it's not even our money, the part of the money that comes to me that belongs to Him. I've said it before and I'll say it again, I believe the greatest insurance premium that you pay is when you drop your tithe in the plate every Sunday. I believe that with all of my heart, and have believed that for years and years now and found God to be faithful. Young couples scare me. Young couples scare me if they don't get into the habit and stay in the habit of tithing faithfully, regularly, as young couples. I believe with all of my heart that more people are laid aside or sidelined, if you will, when it comes to the service of God because of finances than a lot of young men sidelined from the ministry because of finances more so than females. And that's the honest truth. And a lot of times what you see happen, you say, well, that's sad, but you don't know. Maybe the underlying reason is that a young couple or a young man or a young lady doesn't get set on the issue of tithing, and you get into that vortex of gravity that just draws you down, 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 and you'll never be able to fight your way out of it. You can get all the credit cards you want, all the different things you want to do, but when you've got a God in heaven who's turned against what you're trying to do positively, financially, you're not going to succeed. You've got to be settled on the matter of tithing. Get it down. Now, you need to have some Bible-based foundational verses and principles, truth from the Word of God. Nail down about tithing. You want to be set. You don't want to ever give yourself an excuse not to tithe. Now, you know, so what about our country? You know, I have no idea what's going to, like you have no idea what's going to happen in this country. But I'll tell you what could happen in this country. What could happen is that we will see the day when to be faithful in tithing and giving to the Lord is going to cost us some of the luxuries that we have decided are necessities. There's a lot of that in this country. There's a lot of things that we look as a luxury, that we look as necessity, that aren't really necessities, folks. They're luxuries. Now, my fear is, especially younger generation, maybe the older too, falling so much in love with those luxuries that when push comes to shove, when it comes down to keeping the luxuries or honoring God, you decide you don't have enough money to tithe. Now you're going to be in trouble. Okay? We're in that era. We're in that era. We got more things that we think we need that are just luxuries to what we really don't need. And I don't want you to have any excuse for your family, for yourself in this matter of tithing. So you need some biblical basis for why you tithe. If you don't have some biblical basis for it, the devil will come and steal it away from you someday. Amen. So stay on top of it from the Word of God. Let me give you, I believe there's 8 reasons tonight why tithe. Why tithe? We'll go quickly. We'll go through. Again, I know this is not, you know, this is not chandelier shouting, running the aisles, but I'll tell you something. It may prove long-term more benefit than shouting amen if you get this matter nailed down in your home. Amen. Nailed down in your family. Let's go to Leviticus 27. We'll go here quickly through these 8 things. Leviticus 27 on why tithe. Leviticus 27, the first reason, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 27, before you get it in your mind, I know we're in the Old Testament, okay? I understand that Genesis through Malachi is Old Testament, all right? I know this is the New Testament day and age, but don't worry. There's enough principles from the New Testament to nail it down. It's not just an Old Testament matter, and it's not just a Jewish matter. It's a Christian matter, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. Look at Leviticus 27 and verse number 30. God is talking about things that are dedicated to Himself. He says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Look at verse 32. "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Now you see the word tithe and tenth used interchangeably in verse number 32. That's because they are one in the same. The word tithe means tenth, okay? And so God told His people about things that were dedicated to Him, belonged to Him. He said, a tithe of the land. That's a tithe of your increase from the field or from trees or from vineyards in verse number 30. All of that tithe belongs to me, God said. And then He said in verse number 32, the tithe of the herd or the flock. So the increase of all your herd and the increase of all your flock. One-tenth of it belongs to me. Now, what you need to just get nailed down in your mind is this. The tenth part of any increase you receive belongs to God. The tenth part of any financial increase you receive belongs to God. Now, friend, the truth of the matter is, all that we have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to Him. And if you don't believe that, then you just need to read the first chapter of the book of Job, where God took everything that Job had and put it in the possession of Satan. Amen. Now, if it's possible for me to take this Bible that Brother Don says is his and give it to Daniel Johnson down here tonight, then obviously, in the end, Brother Don didn't own this Bible. I did. Right? If I can take it from him and give it to him, and he doesn't have anything to say about it, nothing he can do about it, then he's not really the true owner of that Bible. I am. And God took everything Job had and said, all that Job hath is in your hand, told Satan that. Now, what does that prove to us? Everything we have belongs to God. What did he give Satan? He gave him Job's camels. He gave him Job's sheep. He gave him Job's donkeys. He gave him Job's oxen. And he gave him Job's kids. He said, wonder why he didn't get Mrs. Job. Because God told Satan, all that he hath is in thine hand, but you can't touch him. And see, that's why it's Mrs. Joyce Angel. That's why it's Mrs. So-and-so, husband last name. Because God put her under the canopy of protection that Job had. Amen. Job's protection. And so that's why he didn't get Job's wife. But he got all of his servants except for four. All of his servants. So everything Job had, from herds and flocks, servants and children, God put it in Satan's hands. So God, everything we have belongs to God. He just is very good to let me keep the greater portion of what belongs to Him. He lets me keep 90%. He could have left us kept 80%. Or he could have reversed it and said 90% belongs to me and I'll let you get along on 10%. But thank God he's good enough to let us keep the 90. Amen. That of all that belongs to him. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm talking about the increase. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Wonderful verses on honoring the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 and 10. Here's what the Word of God says. 9 and 10, chapter 3, Proverbs. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Notice that verse 9 especially. Honor the Lord with the first fruits, with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Is there a tithe envelope in front of you there, Brother Matt? Thank you, sir. See, friend, when you and I put a cash or put check in here and then bring that envelope to church on Sunday, and we drop it in the plate, and that envelope contains at least our tithe, maybe a little bit more than that for building or missions or both, and at least maybe it's more than 10%. People want to give 12 or 15% to the Lord instead of 10. And you drop that in the plate, and then the men take the envelopes upstairs, and they count the money, and they open the envelope, and they take the money back. They take the money out of the envelope and put it in the deposit slip, to put it in the bank of the church bank account. And then, but that's not the envelope's not done yet, because after that happens, God reaches in, and He gets the honor that came with you and I being obedient to give Him what is rightfully His. That's what happens when you drop an offering, an envelope in the plate. God receives the honor from that. Now, you say, but Brother Angel, they're talking here in the Old Testament, about land, about the fruit of the land and the fruit of the trees and the crops and the herds and the flocks. You understand, friend, that's how they measured wealth in Old Testament days. Abraham was a wealthy man. It was mostly in herds and flocks and the crops and so forth. Job was a wealthy man, mostly valued in herds and flocks and crops and so forth. That's how they measured wealth in Bible days. And the Lord said, take 10% of what comes to you from the flocks, from the herds, from the trees, from the field, from the vines. It all, that 10% of all that belongs to me. That's why we tithe, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Well, no, wait. Some of you are making a big mistake. You're tithing on the net on what you bring home. And calculating out your expenses and figuring that, really all that I have for an increase is about this much. I'm going to ask you a question. Who gave you the sense to go to work? Who gave you the ability to be coordinated, to do whatever you do for an income, to think and to have a mind to work, to have a heart that beats and lungs that breathe air and a healthy body, and you go to work? Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Before the government gets a penny, before Social Security gets a penny, before anybody gets a penny out of our income, the first off the top, before your expenses. Well, that's not profit to me. How do you pay your bills? You pay them with the increase that God gives you. Amen. The first 10%, off the top, belongs to
the Lord. That's why we tithe. It belongs to Him. Really, you know, I'm going to pray about tithing. No. You don't have to pray about tithing. It's like, I'm going to pray about getting baptized. You don't pray about being obedient. I tell you what, we're going to have your children pull that on you next time. I want you to make your bed, take out the garbage, and straighten up the house before I get home. I'll pray about that, Dad. Honey, I want you to do the laundry for Mom so Mom doesn't have to do the laundry. Get all the clothes washed and ironed and put away. And I'll be home tomorrow or something, and tonight. Okay, Dad, yeah, I'll pray about that while you're gone. Oh, you're real happy, aren't you? But we don't pray about things that God just simply says, here's what you do. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Amen. By the way, folks, you say, you're preaching because the offerings have been good. And that's why I can't preach this. And I can preach it freely. The offerings have been good. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. Doing this for you. For your sake. Yeah. I do believe this. I don't believe we're getting all the offering we should be getting. I'll say that much. I believe this size church, this size drive-in church, driving in now sometimes 400 on Sunday morning and usually over 300 back on Sunday night, just almost every Sunday night, over 300 back on Sunday night. I think sometimes the offering should be larger than it is. We got people that make a pretty decent buck around this part of the country. That's what it is. Not, and I don't mean getting rich, and I know we got a lot of young couples, and I know what that's like. I know what that's like. But I don't think we're getting it all. I remember Dick Seaton, preached for Brother Brown for years out there when I first went to Iowa. And old Dick Seaton, he's from Colorado. He had long old teeth. I mean, his teeth are that long, long old teeth. And he used to preach about your television. And boy, them teeth are just, you know. And we were in the car one day going to eat, I think, lunch. And he, Brother Brown, was talking to Brother Seaton about the offerings and about money. And Brother Brown said, well, I think everybody's tithing. And Brother Seaton said, Brother Brown, you ain't getting all the tithe. You ain't getting all the tithe. And I believe that. I don't believe this church gets all the tithe that should come out of this church. So I'm just telling you, why do we tithe? Why should you tithe? Because the tenth of all your increase below off the top before Uncle Sam gets his, before retirement gets theirs. Before all that, whatever is off the top of your income, the increase, 10% belongs. I've watched my father, and I've taken too long on this. I said it wasn't going to be long at every point, and I'm being too long on point number one. But, you know, you're sitting there looking at me. I guess we're all right here. But, you know, I watched farmers for 10 years out there, and I watched the farmers who took the hogs to the market, and the truckload of hogs sold for $20,000. And the farmers came in with a $2,000 check. And then I watched the farmers that took the hogs to the market, and the truckload was $20,000, and they went back home, and they put a pencil to the feed, and they put a pencil to the medication, and they put a pencil to this, and they put a pencil to that, and they put a pencil to this, and they subtracted out that, and they got all the way down to the bottom and gave a few dollars. They called it the tithe. I don't think that's tithing as God set tithing out in the Word of God. Belongs to Him. It belongs to the Lord. The tenth belongs to God. It's His. Number two, why do I tithe? Tithing acknowledges God's ownership of all I have. When I tithe, I acknowledge God's ownership of all I have. Look at Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28. Turn there quickly in the Scriptures. And we're going to look at the three verses, 20, 21, and 22. Genesis 28, verses 20 through 22. This one won't be quite as long as that point. We'll move right through these. Verse number 20. And Jacob vowed a vow. He's on his way to Haran. He's on his way. He didn't know it yet, but he's going to be over at Laban's house. That's where he's headed, to Laban. And he comes here. Jacob vowed a vow saying, now he's penniless. He has nothing. He's fleeing for his life. Esau has vowed to kill him. Okay? So he's getting out of Dodge before his brother kills him. He says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Notice those words, of all that thou shalt give me. I will give the tenth unto thee. That's what that tithing off the top does, friend. That tithing off the top acknowledges that God gave you the ability to make the whole load. God gave you the ability to make the whole paycheck, no matter what it is, whatever that gross amount is. God, you gave me the health, you gave me the mind, you gave me the physical coordination. You gave all this chunk to me, and now I'm going to give the tenth back to you. What that does, it acknowledges that God gave you all that you received. It acknowledges God's ownership of all I have. You see, when I give that 10% to God, it belongs to Him. I am acknowledging that He is the one that gave me what I have to give the 10% out of. It'd be like a child. It'd be like one of Brother Don's, Andrew or somebody, coming to him and saying, "Dad, I would like to buy you a Father's Day gift. I don't have any money, but I'd like to buy you a Father's Day gift." So Brother Don pulls a $10 bill out, and he says, "Okay, Andrew, buy me something for Father's Day." And then Andrew took that money and went and spent it on something else. That's not what he gave it to him for. You see, when Andrew comes back with the Father's Day gift for his dad, when he gives him that gift, he is acknowledging, "Dad, I'm giving back to you out of that which you gave to me in the first place. It wasn't mine to begin with. It was yours." We use the word "my" and "mine" too freely and too boldly. Amen, that's right. I'm saying it acknowledges God's ownership over all that I have. By the way, look what happened to Jacob. He made this vow to God. He said, "God, if you, out of all that you give me, out of all, not after I back all my expenses out, but out of all that you give me, I'm going to give you the tithe." Look what happened to him as a result of this promise he made to God. Look at chapter number 32, just a couple of chapters over, chapter 32 and verses 9 and 10. Chapter 32, verses 9 and 10. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham." Now he's coming back. He's been in Haran, and he's coming back to Bethel. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." Watch what it says. "For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. On my way to Haran, all I had was a stick. Penniless, nothing. All he had was a stick. He said, with my staff passed I over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." He had groups of, I mean, brother, he had Leah and all her entourage. He had Rachel and all her entourage. He had all those cattle and all those goats and all those flocks and all of that. And he said, "God, several years ago, 20 years ago, I think he stayed in Laban's 20 years. He said, when I crossed over here 20 years ago, I had a stick in my hand. That's all I had. And now, coming back, I have two bands, more than enough." That did God bless him? Absolutely God blessed him. Because God blesses tithing. Jacob made a vow to give God 10% out of all that which God gave him. And when he did that, he acknowledged God's ownership over all that Jacob received. Verse number 3, look at Genesis chapter 14. Back to the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, chapter 14. God blessed, why do I tithe? God blessed the first person who tithed. The first record of tithing in our Bible is in Genesis chapter 14. And verse number 18. Genesis 14, verse number 18. "And Melchizedek." Now, there's a lot of, not controversy, but just argument, I guess, over who is Melchizedek. I believe Melchizedek was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. You may believe something different. I don't believe it's worth fussing over, okay? "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said," Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And Abraham's returning from the slaughter of the kings, getting Lot back. And then the Bible says, "And he gave him tithes of all." Now Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Say, "God bless you, Abraham. That's wonderful. And God has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And you got your nephew back. That's wonderful." And then it says, "And he gave him tithes of all." He said, "Well, look at that. Melchizedek gave Abraham tithes." No, Melchizedek did not give Abraham tithes. Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes. You say, "Well, how do you know that's the what the wording is there?" You go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And Hebrews chapter 7 makes it extremely clear that it was Abraham who paid tithes to Melchizedek. Now, it would take the time to read all 10 verses, the first 10 verses of this chapter. But let me just show you verse number 1 and 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Not after he backed his expenses out. Well, let's see, how much did this cost me to go get Lot? I got to pay my servants time and a half. It was overtime. And it took me some extra feed for the animals. And let's see, I got to back all that out. And God, this is what I really show as an increase. So I'm going to give you 10% after I back all. That's not what it says, does it? It says he gave a tenth part of what? All. So he gave a tenth part of all. Now, friend, you could read on through down verse number 10. There are 8 references to tithing in the first 10 verses of chapter 7. 8. 8 references to tithing in those 10 verses. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Gave him a tenth part of all. Abraham did that. Now, you say, okay, did Abraham benefit by doing that? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 and look at verse 34 and 35. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 34 and 35. Let me, while you're finding that scripture, let me make this point. Some of you already know it. Why is it important that we're finding tithing in the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 28 and Genesis chapter 14. Why is that important? Because Genesis is before what? The law. Because some misguided people believe that tithing was instituted with the law. No, tithing was instituted way before the law. Tithing was instituted as soon as man, Abraham here tithing back in Genesis 14. Jacob tithing in chapter 28. I mean, way before the Old Testament law was given, they're practicing the matter of giving the Lord what belongs to Him. The tithe, the tenth, okay? Look at chapter 24. Look at verse 34 and 35. This is Eleazar's testimony about his master Abraham. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. This is Eleazar. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. He said, that's why I want to tithe. I want to tithe so I can have all that stuff. Well, friend, that's absolutely the wrong motive to tithe. Absolutely the wrong motive to tithe. But God did bless Abraham because he tithed. And God blessed Jacob because he tithed. And we'll get on to that in just a minute. God will bless us to a measure for tithing as well. So these men tithed, and they practiced it all along since the beginning of time as we know it. And that God abundantly blessed these men for obeying Him when it came to giving Him what belongs to Him, the tithe. Number 4, why do I tithe? Why should you tithe? I tithe because Jesus commended tithing. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and one verse. Chapter 23. If you're having a hard time finding it, just look at the Bible and see where you see the smoke coming out of the pages. That's Matthew 23, okay? Because you won't find any chapter where Jesus really scalded a group of people like he did in Matthew 23. And by the way, these were not old hippies and drug addicts and prostitutes. These were religious lost people. And I mean, buddy, he was letting them have it. I mean, brother, he called them hypocrites. Look at verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. He said, okay, you paid the tithe of the mint and the anise and the cumin. If the anise in Bible days is what it is now, It's a substance that has an odor to it, a good smell to it. And in Canada, when they're having preparing for somebody that's going to go on a bear hunt, they'll take anise and they'll spray the trees with the anise around the area where they're setting the bait drum to pull the bears in, because the bears have such a keen sense of smell. And anise has a very pleasant smell to it. And you just hope they don't spray it in the tree that you're sitting in. Amen. And but anyway, he said, now you brought the tithe, the tenth part of the mint and the anise and the cumin. He's getting on them. He said, now you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. He said, you know, tithing 10% of the increase of what you've got here in these matters, It's not everything. You can't expect the blessing of God if you faithfully drop 10% in the plate and yet don't take care of your heart attitude and your spirit. You can't drop tithe in the plate and sit there all bitter and ugly and jealous and envious and critical of people and impatient and all ugly inside. Well, God's going to bless me because I tithe. I don't think you can do that, friend. I think there are some weightier matters. But I want you to notice what he said in verse number 23. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. He commended them for tithing. He said, you've done right to tithe. But you shouldn't tithe and let the other part of your spiritual walk go. That's what he's saying. So Jesus commended tithing. You know, there's no verse in the Bible that says Jesus tithed. But folks, I am convinced he tithed. You know why I'm convinced he tithed? Because the Pharisees watched his life like a hawk. And they tried to catch him in any word or deed that was contrary to the law. Anything. And when they thought they caught him in something contrary to the law, they jumped on him like a tick on a June bug. They were all over him. And I promise you, if Jesus had not tithed, whatever he received, whatever his increase was, if he had not given the 10% he was supposed to give, I'll promise you, they'd have been all over his case. They were about everything else. But there's no Bible verse that says Jesus tithed. But he commended tithing here. He told them, you've done right to tithe. Now, you shouldn't have left the other matters undone, but I'm glad you at least brought the tithe in. So Jesus commended the matter of tithing. This is New Testament. I understand. It's before the cross. So it's really Old Testament economy. It's still Old Testament dispensation. I understand that. It's to Jewish people. I understand that. But tithing is still for New Testament day and age, and it's for Gentiles as much as it is Jews. And point number five in 1 Corinthians 9 teaches us that without fail. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Why do I tithe? Why should you tithe? Why do we tithe? Because tithing supports the ministry of my church. It's God's ordained way to support the ministry of my church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 13. Now, there's so much in this chapter right here about Paul to the church at Corinth, which is a Gentile church, okay? He says, look at verse number 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? See that carnal things right there? He's talking about money. That's what he's talking about there. If you study it out through the whole chapter, he's talking about money. He said in verse number 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altars are partakers with the altar. What's he talking about? He's talking about Old Testament, isn't he? He's talking about the Jews bringing the tithe to the tabernacle. He's talking about the Jews bringing the tithe to the temple. What happened to the tithe that the Jewish families brought to the tabernacle? What happened to the tithe the Jewish families brought to the temple? The people who waited and ministered at the temple and at the tabernacle lived off what the people brought to the temple, the tabernacle. See, the priests didn't have any land. The tribe of Levi was never given a piece of ground. The tribe of Dan had ground. The tribe of Asher had ground. Simeon's tribe had ground. Judah had ground. But Levi had no ground. He had no ground on which to grow any crops or run any herds and flocks. Because he's supposed to be at the tabernacle, later on the temple, taking care of all the service there at the tabernacle, the ministry of the temple and the tabernacle. And so here comes people from the tribe of Dan, here comes people from the tribe of Simeon, here comes people from the tribe of Asher and Issachar and Naphtali, and they're coming to the tabernacle, the temple, with their 10% that belongs to God, and they left it at the tabernacle, left it at the temple, and the people who serviced and did the ministry at the tabernacle and temple lived off what they brought in. Now, I could take you to Nehemiah tonight. Nehemiah gets those walls rebuilt. He goes back to his job as the king's cupbearer. He's there for a while, I think 2 years. He returns to Jerusalem. He goes right to the temple. And the priests aren't there. And the servants aren't there. And the singers aren't there. He said, where are all the servants? Where are the people who are supposed to be serving in here? And when somebody said, well, there's no tithe. So they've gone to work. He threw a fit. He threw a fit. I mean, you talk about throwing a fit. He chased people, grabbed them by the hair of their head. I don't know a Baptist preacher that's done that. He was upset. That's why some of you don't have any hair. You haven't been tithing. That's what it is. Amen. Somebody snatched the hair off the top of your head. Okay, all right. No. There was no tithe. He went wild. Now, that's what he's talking about in verse number 13. He said, you know that happened. That's record took place. Look at verse number 14. Even so, now, in this dispensation, in this Gentile church, even so, hath the Lord ordained. This is not man's idea. This is the Lord's doing. Hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, how those that preach the gospel live of the gospel. People go out and they work a job, and they bring their tithe in on Sunday, and the tithe is given to the church, and the ministry of the church is supported by the tithes of God's people. That's a Gentile church. That's New Testament day and age. That's A.D. 60 thereabouts. That church was started in about A.D. 30-something. He's writing to them in A.D. 60. So it's not Old Testament. It's not Jews. It's Gentiles. In the same way that the Old Testament priests, singers, and servants were supported by the tithe of the people, in this day and age, in this New Testament day and age, the people who serve at the church are supported the same way. A church should take care of its pastors and staff. It should. And this church does. Because people are obedient to God and bring the tithe in. By the way, I don't know of any better place that teaches storehouse tithing in the New Testament than 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Your tithes should go to the church that you attend. That's right. It should not go to the radio preacher. Should not go to the television evangelist. Should not go to some bleeding heart Mother Teresa ministry. It belongs in the local church. That's where it belongs. It's to support the ministry of my church. And by the way, I wouldn't go to a church that I couldn't support financially. Well, I can't give because I don't trust what you do with the money, but I'm going to come hear the preaching. That's foolish. I wouldn't do that. No, sir. You ought to have confidence in the leadership and the administration of the church finances. And boy, we try to do that every year with you men. That's why that meeting is so important to me, that you come in January and take a look at what, you know, it's funny. One time, a person whose tithe is about 80 bucks a week. Well, the reason I'm asking these questions, I don't trust what y'all do with the money. We need more information because I don't trust what you do with the money. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. 5 or 6 days later, a brother called me and he said, I had a business deal go down. He said that my giving off it, tithing a little bit, is about $8,000. Do what you want with it. Wherever you want to put it, just put it. You know, I just wanted you to know it's coming in. It's a little extra, more than normal. You know, and I thought, so if you want to do something special with it, it's fine. If you don't, you want to do something, whatever you want to do with it, Pastor, whatever, I just want you to know it's coming. I thought, how ironic. Somebody can't trust me with 80 bucks, but somebody else can trust me with 8,000. Amen. I just let that stuff. You just drive down the road and laugh. Amen. You know, really, you have to. That's the truth. And by the way, that's how you should give the tithe. The tithe is never designated. The tithe goes in the general fund. Yeah. Now, when you designate money to missions and designate money to building, that's above and beyond the tithe. And you can designate it like that to those two things. But you don't designate tithe money. That's the storehouse. Amen. Comes into the general fund of the church, all right? And so forth and so on. I am commanded to support the ministry of my church. Tithing supports the ministry of my church. This is New Testament. This is a Gentile church, just like this one is. And tithing is how it supported that ministry of that church. Number 6, God promised overflowing blessings to those who tithe. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. And you know it. You know it well. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And then God said these words, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Do you get that? I heard a preacher say one time that the windows of heaven opening means that you see through windows into heaven and see things in heaven like God sees them. But there's only one other place in the Bible where the windows of heaven were opened. And that's in Genesis when the flood came. And nobody saw into anything. But they got more water than they could handle. That's what happened when the windows of heaven were opened. That's the only other place in the Bible where the phrase is even used. I believe what it says. I believe when you tithe faithfully and consistently and with the right motive, I believe God, and God said, "Test me. Test me. Put me to the test. Tithe and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." Now look, folks, this does not give us liberty or license to be a fool with the rest of the money. Eat $400 worth of hamburgers every month and then complain about, God's not meeting my needs. Getting plenty of hamburgers out of it, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. You have to be wise. Sure you do. But this is, and you know what it says here? And there, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm going to tell you what that may mean. I'm not dead set on this. But that may mean that here's my godly grandfather, and he tithed, and his life was blessed, but the blessings didn't stop with his generation. Some of those blessings spilled over to the next generation, and didn't stop with that generation. Some of those blessings spilled over to the next generation. And just kind of spilled over and spilled over and spilled over and spilled over to my wife and my children and my grandchildren, maybe. I don't know. He just says there won't be room enough to receive. Now tithe, because God promised overflowing blessings to those who tithe. That's a good reason to tithe. That's not the only reason you tithe. But what a good God to tell us, now be sure and give me what belongs to me. Don't keep it. And when you give it to me, I'm going to give it back to you overflowing. What a good God He is. My goodness, friend. I'm going to tell you, that's unbelievably good. Look at verse number 7. Same chapter. Point number 7. Same chapter. Why do I tithe? Because 90% of the money goes further than 100% of the money. Look at verse number 7. "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But ye said, "Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." But ye say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" And God said, "In tithes and offerings." Look at verse number 9. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." That's the thing I fear for young couples getting caught in. I'm going to tell you, young couples, you're not going to go as far on 100% as you will on 90%. Because God will get what's His. And you may not like how He gets it. Because it may not be in money. It may be some other way. But you'll live a lot better on 90% than you will 100%, I promise you. When I first got saved, went to Hiles Anderson, my first year there, Bill Dowell was at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. At that time, probably the blowing and going Bible college in America. On the tail end of it. I mean, you start naming influential churches in the States from the 50s and 60s, and 80% of them were pastored by BBC graduates. Jerry Falwell's a BBC graduate. Other men out in Ohio. What's his name? Henniger. I can't remember all the names. BBC graduate. Unbelievable. And Bill Dowell believed in storehouse tithing. John, and Bill Dowell had a paper. Oh, boy. I can't remember the name of the paper, but it doesn't matter. John R. Rice did not believe in storehouse tithing. And he had his paper called The Sword of the Lord. John R. Rice was an evangelist. So he would encourage people, send me your tithe if you want to. You know, he didn't believe in storehouse tithing. He was wrong on it. And he would write an article in The Sword of the Lord. And we had to take both papers. You were required to take both papers as a pastoral theology major. So I had the Baptist Bible Tribune. That's what it was. And The Sword of the Lord coming. And one week, here came The Sword of the Lord, John Rice. Why storehouse tithing is not taught in the Scripture. And here came Bill Dowell the next week. Why storehouse tithing is taught in the Scripture. And then John Rice would answer that. Dowell wrong on storehouse tithing. And then Rice in error on storehouse tithing. And it was back and forth like that. And over here, Cedar Lake, Indiana, at the campground, they advertised, they said from the pulpit in chapel one day, Sword of the Lord Conference, Cedar Lake Campground. Jack Hiles, John Rice, and Lee Robertson will be preaching. I was working third shift at UPS. And so I had the evenings at home, at the dorm there. Didn't go to work till 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought, man, Dr. Hiles, John Rice, Lee Robertson, right over here in Cedar Lake, just a few minutes from the college, I'm going. Man, I saw Lee Robertson preach, sat in the front row like these boys now. I saw Lee Robertson preach, you know, he got that blue double-breasted suit on, and he was always so proper, you know, and always so dignified, you know, the Moses of independent fundamentalism. He put a chair up over his head. He raised the chair up over his head, shook it up and down like that, stomped around, preached and everything. Man, that's better than sitting at home in dorm rooms with hairy legs of other roommates in there. Huh? Unbelievable. The next night I went back, it was Brother Rice and Brother Hiles. Brother Rice preached first. He sat right there, and during the song service, he penned his outline on the sin of prayerlessness. Got up to preach. I'm going to preach tonight on the sin of prayerlessness. And he preached off that piece of paper. It was a wonderful sermon. And boy, they had a break between the two messages. And a kid was sitting by me on the front row, and he had more sense than I did. He stepped right up there and said, Brother Rice, could I have that? And Brother Rice said, sure. Gave him the outline. Just preached from it. Gave it to him. John Rice sitting on the platform. And Dr. Howes got up and said, turn to Malachi chapter 3. This is in the middle of John Rice and Bill Dowell fighting over tithing. And he said, turn to Malachi chapter 3. John Rice picked up his chair and moved it up just like this and sat just right like this. Sat right here. I didn't dream that. That happened right in front of me. I thought, this is worth coming for. Amen. And he read his text. Read chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10. Will a man rob God? I want to preach tonight on Will a Man Rob God? I thought, oh my goodness. And he even read the verse, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Will a man rob God? And he preached a message about robbing God. Robbing God from this. Robin never mentioned money. Never mentioned tithing. Never mentioned it. I don't know if John Rice scared him half to death or Brother Howes had too much respect for John Rice. I don't know, but it was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. I couldn't believe it. And went home disappointed. Amen. Because there was no fight. And we'll forget that. I hate, you know, I hate that verse is in the Bible, but it's in there. You're cursed with a curse. I hate that verse is in there. But it is, folks. You get into that thing. You get into the thing of keeping that which belongs to God. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay? You'll live a lot better on 90% than you will 100%. Amen. Number 8, tithing proves love for the Lord. John chapter 14. Very simple verse in John 14. And verse number 15. Very simple verse. Jesus speaking here to his disciples. And he said this. He just told them about heaven in the first part of the chapter. And he told them in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when I tithe, why do I tithe? Because tithing proves love for the Lord. Now, folks, I don't love God near as much as I should. And maybe some of you not either. But I do love Him some. And I'd like to love Him more. And should. But I love Him enough that when I put that thing in that plate every Sunday morning, it brings warmth to my heart. God, I'm doing this because I love You. I love You. I love You. Where do you start? Pastor, I've not been tithing. Where do you start? You start. But you just start. But you just start. But you just start. And you tell God, I'm going to give You what belongs to Yours, and I'm going to need Your help in getting out of this mess. I believe with all my heart that right there is the most important insurance premium that I pay. Your hopes are in the United States government. Your hopes in our banks that are being bought up by the Arabs. And the New York Stock Exchange, part of it that was purchased by the Arabs. Yes, sir. Part of it purchased by the Arabs. Now owned, part of the New York Stock Exchange, by the Muslims. And you're going to put all your eggs in the basket of the stock market? I think I'll just keep looking at that plate with that smiley face and just keep dropping that every week and just obeying God, because for 32 years now, He's done just what He said He would do. I think I'll just keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen. And try to be right, try to be wise with everything else, and let God take care of it. Now, there's 8 reasons why you should tithe. I hope that you do. If you don't, I hope that you'll start. If you did and quit, I hope that you'll begin again. If you are, just stay at it. And when the day comes in this country that you have to choose between luxuries or honoring God, honor God. Leave it with Him. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for sitting through that tonight. Make no apology for preaching it. I know it wasn't an interest-getting message, but I hope that you'll take it to heart. My dear Father, I thank You for the privilege to speak the truth to the people tonight. And I pray, God, that You'll please spare any young family, any young person, and Lord, any elderly for that matter, or middle-aged, spare us the trap of keeping that which belongs to You. God, help us tonight to trust You, to obey You, to love You enough and honor You, to give the tithe. Help our church meet our needs. We see prices going up. Lord, I know money doesn't go near as far at the grocery store. My wife says that. I know these ladies are the same. The gas prices are higher. The heating gas is supposed to be going up. But God, You know all that. And God, You promised to take care of us. Help us to do right. And leave it in Your hands in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, there's the altar tonight for salvation, baptism, church membership, or if the Lord spoke to your heart. Now, you say, man, I'm too embarrassed to come to the altar. Well, I don't know what to tell you. But if God spoke to your heart, be honest with God, deal with it. Deal with Him. Doesn't mean you're guilty of what we preached about. It just means God spoke to your heart about the message tonight. While the ladies play, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.